If you're new or visiting, want to extend a special welcome. We're so glad you're here with us. If you've got any questions, I'll be up front afterwards. Or if any of you have anything you'd like to discuss after the sermon, I'll be right here. Today we continue our summer sermon series, and we're talking through the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is such an exciting opportunity for us. Today we're going to consider the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We're going to ask three questions. When does the Holy Spirit enter our lives? Secondly, what happens when He enters? And third, what does He do once He's now living inside of us? If you would please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be reading Romans 8 from verse 8 through verse 16. And if you would please, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Romans 8, verse 8 through 16. God's Word says, "And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Father, take this word, write it on our hearts. Spirit, teach us for the glory of the Son. Thank you for the privilege to gather and ponder the wonder of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, might we be changed by the unfolding of your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen." Please be seated. Wow, what a passage. Let's begin by asking, so when does the Holy Spirit enter our lives? Once again, in Romans 8, verse 9, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." The Holy Spirit enters life when a person is saved. In that moment, when we hear God's word and we respond by faith, when we believe the truth of the gospel, Jesus rescues us. The Holy Spirit enters our lives and begins from there to wash us, to renew us, to apply to us what Jesus bought by His death and resurrection on our behalf. The scripture is clear. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. He is still dead in his sin. Notice this doesn't talk about praying a special prayer. We're not saved by a magical prayer. It doesn't talk about baptism. Baptism doesn't save. What saves us is our faith. When God puts faith in our hearts, we respond and receive Christ as our Lord. In that moment, we become the dwelling place of God. Many young Christians have been troubled. They are beginning the Christian life, and someone comes and tells them they need to receive the Holy Spirit. And some may say that needs to be evidenced by certain particular signs. Those promoters don't deny that salvation is a good thing. And yet they say, well, there's something really lacking. You need the second blessing. intimating, as it were, that there are two classes of Christians. But in Luke's account of the coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, there are events there that are once in the unfolding of the economy of God. And what Luke records is for us to see that now, by the coming of the Holy Spirit, we've entered a whole new era, a whole new chapter in the working of the kingdom. Those events are not normative. Need we seek them today? The fact is, when you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit entered your life. It began to work in there, the work of God. When you turned from your self-centered life and allowed Jesus to be the center of your life, in that step of faith, God entered. And from then on, He dwells in you. And forevermore, you are the dwelling place of God. There is no greater miracle. Last week, Jim reminded us that this greatest of miracles is the miracle of salvation, when the Spirit applies what Christ has done and He enters and He makes residence in our souls. If anyone intimates to you that this is a small thing, they are sorely mistaken. The people of the Old Testament could only dream of the intimacy that we enjoy by the indwelling Spirit. We see that the Spirit existed in Genesis. We see Him moving over the waters. He led God's people in a cloud by day and a fire by night. And it was He that spoke through the prophets. But the relationship that every believer has by the presence of the Holy Spirit was enjoyed by very few people in the Old Covenant. Now we have an intimacy by Him dwelling in us that is radical and is the blessing of our living in this day in the economy of God. So second, let's ask, what happened when the Holy Spirit entered our lives? When you trusted Christ, God by the Spirit entered, and immeasurable riches are now yours because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Notice, Paul doesn't speak of the Holy Spirit entering partially. He doesn't enter as a cloud, nor as a cup of water. He enters your life as a person. And as a person now, He is with you and He is in you, so that you can have an intimate personal relationship with God by the presence of God's Spirit in you. He applies in us the cleansing power of the cross. He removes all our guilt, all our stain, and removes our shame, so that we can stand confident and blameless in the presence of God. Imagine all your sin, past and present and future, all washed away and buried in the deepest sea because His work in you. You have now a new nature. He makes you a part of God's family. He guarantees you a future home in glory. Do you rejoice to know that you are now God's child, cleaner than fresh driven snow? Once, the Scripture says, our sins were as scarlet, and now we're as white as a beautiful garment of a wedding gown. You see, the Holy Spirit unites you to Christ, and then comes and dwells within. That's why Paul could say in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. In the same way, you can declare that as well. You have been crucified with Christ. You no longer live. Christ lives in you. You are now the dwelling place of God. Sinclair Ferguson put it this way. Of course, justification, adoption, sanctification, and glorification are distinct categories of the application of redemption and should never be confused. But they are not to be viewed as separate events. They are aspects or facets of the one event of our union with Christ in His risen glory, effected by the power of the Spirit and worked out progressively through the Spirit's ongoing ministry. This is why we've been baptized as new believers, because that symbolizes the Holy Spirit baptizing us in Christ, so that we're saturated in Christ from without and from within. We are part of Him, us in Christ, Christ in us, a radically new life made available by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You are now hidden with Christ in God, and you'll forevermore be in Him. I hope that you've testified to your faith by baptism. If you haven't, as a believer, this is your duty to declare that you've been baptized by the Spirit into newness of life. He will give you strength to obey even this command. Because of what the Holy Spirit has done, there is now no condemnation for you. Now the Heavenly Father looks at you and He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. And that is a glorious thing. You've been made alive. You've become a new person. The old person was dead in sin. The new is alive in Christ. The old person was God's enemy. You are now God's child. The old person bound for death, you bound for glory. The old you in chains of evil, the new you free in Christ. Cleansed of all our sins, baptized into Christ, giving us a new nature, adopting us as sons, giving us a home in heaven, granting us the indwelling Christ, empowering us for holy living. All this the Holy Spirit has done upon His entering your life. What a joy to be the dwelling place of God, to know that He now is Christ in us, empowering us to live a supernatural life. So let's ponder what happens then as the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Three things to mention. An internal war begins. Second, we enjoy His leading and direction. Third, we experience our adoption as God's children. First, the battle. You see, before Christ, we only had one nature. That nature was self, to please self, to advance self, to work for self, and you can see it was really all about self. Now, you have a new nature, and your new nature is the Spirit within you, vivifying a whole new person, made new in Christ with new inclinations, with new desires, and with new powers. And yet the fact is, the old nature is still resident in your mortal flesh. And so each pulls in their own direction. But by the presence of the Holy Spirit, you not only long to please God, but you have the power to please God. Ponder with me. Have you ever wanted to please someone? Maybe you really wanted to please your parents. Perhaps your parents were hard to please. Or it could be that there was some coach, you really wanted to please the coach and make that spot on the team. Maybe you're the romantic sort and you want to please that special someone. And I hope if you're married that you want to please your spouse as part of your daily life. That's good. And yet all of the satisfaction that comes from pleasing others pales with the joy and the delight of knowing that your life brings a smile on the face of the Heavenly Father. The joy of pleasing our Maker. You
little you can bring delight to the Heavenly Father as you walk by the Spirit and follow His direction in your life. Living out your new nature pleases God, but that means engaging in this internal warfare. You see, the old nature still desires to please self. We like to worship our own little idols, which we so foolishly believe will make us happy. And yet, we long to please God. So from the moment the Spirit enters our lives, He begins to make changes. And it's no fool that realizes the Holy Spirit of God doesn't enter life without making changes. Your life is now His home. And He sets about putting things the way they ought to be. And yet, change is difficult for all of us. I hope you can cite numerous changes the Holy Spirit has made in your life. Changes in your outlook and manners. Changes in your love and peace. A peace that before you could only imagine. Calm in times of trouble. Hunger for this book. A love for God's people. A desire to serve Christ as King. I hope you've been set free from the addictions that once used to plague you. The Holy Spirit wants only to bring good things into your life and set you free from those things that are dark or twisted or evil. The Holy Spirit comes to make change. He's about making life beautiful. Julie, my wife, has this special knack for making things beautiful. And we just went to visit our kids in El Paso and San Antonio. And El Paso is kind of a dry place. But one afternoon, Julie just disappeared. And when she came back, there was this lovely flower arrangement on the dining room table. And she had spied some blooming bush in the back of the property. And all of a sudden, there are these beautiful blossoms on the dining room table. I was like, wow. And that happened. And that's like the Holy Spirit. If you're anything like me, there may be a few things left in your life that aren't beautiful. And that's where the Holy Spirit would like to change. And you'll notice that it could be anything. It could be your speech. It could be your tone of voice. It might be the way you look at certain people or the way you roll your eyes. Could be perhaps you're critical or cold. Maybe you need to change in your finances or in your sexuality. Could be you need to be more generous, more humble, more thankful. You see, because the new nature is glorious and the old nature isn't, the struggle is still there. But He gives us power to change. He provides strength to say no to the old man and yes to your new inclination in Christ. Look again to Romans 8:12 and 13. So then, brothers, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You see, the only way to put to death the deeds of the old nature is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet many believers struggle. Having begun their Christian life by faith and trust in Christ, they now seek to work out their life to defeat the old nature and to live in obedience to Christ. They seek to do that in their weak human strength. And it's very frustrating. And it's very hard, and it doesn't work. If your spiritual life is mundane or routine or boring, perhaps it's because you're living in the power of the old man rather than in the joy and power of the Spirit of God that dwells in you. Human will alone is not enough to please God. I kind of see it like this. Imagine somebody gives you one of those smart cars. And it turns out there are various ways to get around. And here's one option. And if you have a very healthy horse, I imagine you can get your smart car around probably all the way down to the grocery store and back. But I wouldn't suggest this be your primary way of getting around, because the designer of that car happened to put an engine inside. And it's remarkable. You may need to park your pony, but if you use the engine that is provided, you will find you can really get around. And the fact is, the powerful engine for the Christian life is the Holy Spirit who indwells you. God, who called you, has equipped you to live a new life, a life, a supernatural life, driven by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. You see, as ineffective as pulling your car with a big horse is trying to live the Christian life in the power of your human nature, but on the contrary, as you live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can live a supernatural life. And every day lived in the power of the flesh is a wasted day. And every life lived without the power of the Spirit is a wasted life. This process, this battle, is like a two-stroke engine. The theological terms are mortification and vivification. Mortification means putting to death the old. Vivification means living out the life of Christ within. Mortification is repenting of those old ways. Vivification is faith in the power and the presence of God to live according to Christ. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 9:27, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me." Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:31 commented, "I die daily." Furthermore, here's what he said in 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11. Paul said, "Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh." So by the power of the Spirit, we put to death the selfish nature. And by His power, we step in to faith and allow Christ to live His life through us. A supernatural life shining with the light and the glory of God. Major Ian Thomas put it this way: "Christ did not die simply that you might be saved from a bad conscience or even to remove the stain of past failure, but to clear the decks for divine action." You see, the Spirit of God imparts to you the life of Christ, and by His life you now live a life that is pleasing to God. Listen again to Major Thomas. He says, "To be in Christ, that is redemption. But for Christ to be in you, that is sanctification. To be in Christ, that makes you fit for heaven. But for Christ to be in you, makes you fit for earth. The one makes heaven your home. The other makes this world his workshop." Do you see? Christ is in you, giving life to your mortal body, so that in you and through you, Christ can go to all the world and touch the sick and care for widows and orphans, to preach good news to every nation, to advance His peace, to serve in your humble place with the power of God and the presence of God, because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. he goes on to tell us that there is new life. He who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body. That word, life, there is from the word zoe, the Greek from where we get our word zoo. And the idea is that a zoo is a place where there's all kinds of life. In the same way, Christ gives life to your mortal body. And I heard one time that some archaeologists were digging around in one of the tombs in Egypt. And they found there some old grains of wheat. And they estimated they'd been there for 4,000 or 5,000 years. And so they thought, this was remarkable. One of the scientists happened to take some of those grains and plant them and water them. And to the amazement of all those scientists, those grains that had been dead for maybe 5,000 years sprung to life because they had been infused with water. And you may remember that water in the Bible symbolizes the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So here's what Jesus says in John 7:37. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed were to receive. You see, just as you received Jesus by faith you are now to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as you trusted Christ to cleanse you from all sin, now trust Christ in you to flow like a river of living water. Now, I'm not saying that you'll feel like you have a river of living water at all times, because it's not about feeling. It's about the reality of the presence of Christ within. So you may ask, what does that look like for me? Where does the river flow from me? I was chatting just the other day with a dear friend who's in the process of caring for parents that are failing. And it's been very difficult. One of his parents has been a very complicated person to care for. And as we were chatting, he said, you know, I approach this with suffering on one hand and with thankfulness on the other hand. It's hard to see my father fail, and it's hard to love him. And yet I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to care, that God gives me the strength to care, and that I can care and love with the love of Christ. And so I thought, wow, what a beautiful picture of a brother who's letting living water flow from his life. And in your place, God wants you to bring refreshment because you're there. You see, where you are, there Christ is. That's how the gospel goes to the ends of the earth, because everywhere you go, there Christ goes. Everywhere he sends you, there is the light of God and the fresh water of the Holy Spirit. Two more things as we close to notice. All who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Here we see that, that we are led by the Spirit of God. He is now the one that guides us and directs us. He is our instructor and our leader. And we see furthermore that he testifies to our heart that we are God's children. And it's beautiful there. He uses that word Abba. That's a Hebrew word that means Papa or Daddy. It's a term of great endearment, term of tenderness. It's like at one time we were out standing in the cold, in the snow, looking through an iced window at a family inside there in the warmth by the fire and the children up in the lap of their father. We were once outside. We were once in the cold as orphans, away from God, away from His family. But now, because the Spirit of God lives in you, He testifies that, oh, no longer. Now you're in that warmth of love. Now you sit in the Father's lap, and He has His arms around you to hold you and to keep you and to warm you and to fill you with joy and peace and love that you could never know any other way. All of us come from imperfect families, and even if they were close to perfect, none of us, no father compares to the perfect Heavenly Father that we were all made to know and to enjoy. And because of His love, we love Him. We long to please Him because He is our Father. And so we give freedom to the Holy Spirit to have His way, to do His work, though it be painful and a struggle. His aim is to work in us the beauty, the glory of Christ, so that all can see that Jesus is alive. He's alive in us. He's alive in you. Now, it may be that you've never experienced the Holy Spirit testifying to your heart that you're God's child. It could be because you've not yet been born into the family. This may seem like some theory, but today is a great day to receive Christ, to receive the Holy Spirit, to believe that God loves you, that Jesus died and rose again for you, that the Holy Spirit is waiting so tenderly to enter your life and to make you new. If you would but confess your sin to Him and receive Jesus by faith to be your Lord, the Holy Spirit will enter and a river of life will flow from you. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You for the joy of being Your children. Thank You for Your Spirit that lives in us, that changes us, that brings glory to Christ. Lord, may we live in His power for Your glory. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.